I have the distinct privilege of adding a tribute to Dale Corson. But to do that in the 5 minutes that is given me reminds me of a spoof issue of the Columbia University Student Magazine some years ago. This issue lampooned the Reader's Digest by copying its format. For the book to condense, they chose the Encyclopedia Britannica. Dale started a professional life by being the co-discoverer of a new element. Had it not been for the crowding by other Berkeley achievements, it probably would have rated him a share in a Nobel Prize. During the war, he contributed to both US and British radar. Characteristically, to alleviate boredom while flying the Atlantic in piston-engined airplanes, he invented a slide rule to enable navigators to harvest the predictions of the geostrophic wind equation. At the end of the war, and in preparation for a precarious peace, he was the architect of the Sandia Corporation, an institution which is still flourishing even after long outliving its original mission. But beginning in 1946, these accomplishments were quickly eclipsed by his service to Cornell. The physics department in 1946 consisted of a strong nuclear studies group and a tiny but ambitious condensed matter group. Dale was respected by both groups, and more than any other individual was responsible for the character of the department: harmonious, effective, and even enjoyable. And so he was the natural choice to continue this leadership as chair and then dean of engineering. A number of Cornell faculty questioned whether Dale was a real engineer, since most of his engineering experience was off campus and therefore almost invisible, such as high-level evaluation of engineering projects in Washington. But I testified that his concrete work was the work of a great professional engineer. Of his many accomplishments as dean, I celebrate especially his role in Washington and in Ithaca in founding the Material Science Center. He set the stage for and orchestrated Cornell's successful bid for a large and unique federal contract. Again, the center was widely copied and survives, mutatis mutandis, as the Cornell Center for Materials Research nearly 40 years later. Dale became provost in 1963 and quickly became the chief operating officer of the university. Now, a university, unlike a corporation, should not need a chief operating officer. Its strength is in distributed form, in the faculty and their associates, rather than centralized. But increasingly, from 1963 onward, Cornell required a strong and capable chief. James Perkins was the most capable academic theorist, but he was often absent and was impatient and less interested in the many currents and countercurrents that were capturing the campus. The need for capable, dedicated, on-campus operations leadership became overwhelming in 1969. Dale, as provost, acting president, and president, brought Cornell back from the edge of chaos. Everyone knew, as he went from meeting to meeting and wrote down commitments in his journal, that he listened, that he understood the problems and the opportunities, and that if he made a commitment, he would keep it, prompting others who trust the one to do likewise. Cornell alumni everywhere are lavish in their praise of his service. Despite the enormous distractions, Dale as president led a university that was nevertheless developing in quality and service. Of his many achievements, I cite only one, the biology division. This was like the two divisions in the physics department, but now on a grand scale and complicated by the public-private boundary, since strengths resided on both the upper and lower campuses. I will not dwell on Dale's post-retirement leadership of GUIR, since you've heard about that. I would only emphasize that, again, bringing leaders together from the three worlds into an effective working organization is a rare achievement. Finally, I should like to express my personal indebtedness to Dale and Nellie for many years as friends and neighbors, with our children growing up together as in an extended family. I have enjoyed every minute of 53 years of association with Dale and his family, and not solely because there is no one with whom I would rather share a snowblower. And so I ask you now to raise your glasses to Dale and Nellie Corson, architect, founder, and preserver of enduring institutions.